chapter 1, we begin verse 14. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So someone shared this with me earlier in the week, and I want you to visualize it. I actually didn't see it. The person just shared it. It was a cartoon. Today, the Patriots we know are playing, right? 3 o'clock, 3:30, something like that. So it's football. Football time. So you know that when a coach talks about the offense and the defense, it's X's and O's. So the coach is looking at this, say, chalkboard or whiteboard, and there's X's and O's. And all of the man, this big, huge lineman in the middle, lifted up his hands and said, "Excuse me, coach, are we the hugs or the kisses?" I see a lot of hugs and kisses in church, which is a great thing. And really, it's so beautiful. Say, when I was holding Kelsey, just to see Earl Hutt, who's going to be 91 next month, just connect with someone whose birthday is May 5th, right? She's going to be one this May. And how beautiful it is that we get caught by love, right? You just get hooked in hook, line, and sinker, amen? When you experience the love of God. And today we read Jesus saying, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We're going to say fishers of people. We want to be inclusive. Can we hear an amen for the Women's March yesterday? Amen. Amy was there last year. So how important is... What was that? I missed that. Oh, and yesterday in Boston. Amen. So how important it is to really study this a little bit, because my heart... And your heart needs to be all about catching people in the name of Jesus. And sometimes we're just so comfortable in our faith. And the mainline church has suffered a little bit where we don't think of the people who are not in the pews next to us, who are not here. And how if we follow Jesus, some translations say, "Come and follow me and I will show you how to catch people. I'll show you." And it's so beautiful that when you read the scriptures, and I want you to read Mark chapter 1. It's very pithy, but right to the point. He immediately goes and heals someone who's possessed by a bad spirit, by an evil spirit. And people are astounded. The whole, right after he says, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of people," they follow him and they see what he does. And if you read in verse 40 of chapter 1, there's a man who's suffering with leprosy. And he says, If it is your will, I know if you just say the word and I'll be healed." Jesus reaches out and touches him where no one else would. And of course, he's healed. But you back it up. After he says that, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. And this is the Son of God, and how important it is that we're moved with compassion. How do we catch people? We catch people by caring for them and following Jesus. See, seeing what Jesus does, and this whole chapter is filled with healings and welcoming into the body of Christ people who are excluded. This man who had leprosy, do you think that he started to catch people after he was healed, after the Son of God in front of everybody reached out and touched him and he was welcomed back into the community? Amen. Once you get caught, don't you want to catch someone else? Amen. Don't you want to share your story about how you've experienced God's saving grace? I remember, you know, I love people who fish. Terry Barton, he's going to fish whether he catches any or not, right? You still love it. Now, I wouldn't. I'm like 5 minutes into it, I'm out of here. But if you start to talk about basketball, if someone says, do you want to play basketball? I'm like, yeah. Even if my knees are hurt and my back's hurt, I'm like, let's do it. Let's shoot some hoops. And it reminds me of that the important thing about fishing for people is that you love to fish, whether you catch any or not. You got to love the fish. You got to love people. You got to have a heart like Jesus, a heart filled with compassion. When I was in fifth grade, and I remember weeping about this, I was at Nelson Place School, elementary school. All my friends were there. But my street, because the school was overcrowded, my street and the next street stayed there. All the kids in my street had to go to a different elementary school for fifth and sixth grade. At the end of fourth, you can't come back to the school. I remember just crying and crying. And so I went to this school, and I ended up being the tallest kid. I was really tall in fifth grade. And there was one kid who was an inch shorter than me, who used to be the tallest kid in school. And we got in a fight, and I'm not a fighter. I'll avoid fighting. He starts pushing me, and I start pushing him. I'm like, where's the teacher to intervene? Please, get over here. Hold me back. And we get in a little tussle, and then we get back in the days when you wrote on the chalkboard, I will not fight in the schoolyard. And he's right next to me. And his name's Jeff. And I go, Jeff, do you play basketball? And he goes, oh, I love basketball. I said, we have a church team. You got to come to youth group or Sunday school to be on the team. And he goes, I'll go. Sure. He comes to church. He never leaves. He's a pastor now in New Hampshire. Little did I know that God had me, amen? God had me go into that place to go from this school to that school. And all I did was, I care for this kid. I don't know why, but I'm caring for him because he started it. But I could tell there was something behind it. Little did I know that the next week he wakes up and his father wrote a note that said, Jeff, and he's in fifth grade, you're the man of the house now. And he left his mother. And Jeff had two younger brothers. And that Christ wanted to catch him with love to save his life. He barely got through school, but that church just loved him and accepted him and had a place where he could just be loved by the net of God's grace. So know that you're strategically planted right where you're supposed to be right now to reach out to somebody who just needs to know God's compassion for them. It's really not rocket science, is it? Kindness goes such a long way. And do you know that there's an epidemic of loneliness? Have you read the studies lately that loneliness is a great epidemic? And that they said that the physical effects of loneliness are worse than smoking. That's got to be bad, right? And we serve a lot of folks who I know that they don't have an extended family. This is their family. We fill in the gaps and we say, you're important. You are family. And I remember asking at Beaumont Nursing Center, I said to all the old folks, I said, how do you catch people? And one old lady just put her hand up and said, pay attention to them. I knew what was behind that. Because I want someone to look me in the eyes. Kelsey's soaking that up here in this place when she starts looking at you. Are you a nice person or not? Are you smiling back? And we want every child, no matter how old, young to old, and to know how important they are and that they're loved. You know, Jonah, I love the book of Jonah. It's not that long. It's only a few chapters. But he resisted the call to go to preach to Nineveh. And we know what happened. He's called the reluctant prophet. Because God says, go to preach to the Ninevites. Tell them to repent. Because they're full of sin and they're in trouble. They're in trouble. They're going to literally just destroy themselves with this way of life. And so Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. They weren't Israelites. They were his enemies. He was raised to not like them. So he said, no, I'm not doing this. And I'm going to go to Tarsus. I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to get on a boat, literally go the opposite way. And we know what happens. The sailors think he's unlucky, so they throw him over. He gets swallowed by the big fish. The Bible doesn't say whale. And the kids love this verse. And he was vomited up on dry land. And he still was reluctant to go to Nineveh, but he does, and they repent, and they believe, and he hates it. He didn't want to fish for those people, and it's not so much to repent, but to tell them that God loves them. And I want you to think about anyone that you might be hating on, that you hold back from loving because someone told you that they're your enemy and that you should just... Imagine if a Republican would pray for a Democrat, or a Democrat would pray for... or reach out in love. Or pick any. Someone who's raised to be racist or sexist is told by God, you need to go love the person that you are hating on. And I'm calling you to do this. Jonah's only being honest, resisting, fishing for people that he really doesn't like. I don't want to get swallowed by a big fish. And I know you don't. I know you want to hear this word this morning. Because when we catch people in the name of Jesus, we're getting caught at the same time. There's never a one-way street. We have people that go on Appalachian Service Project, and Jonathan will tell you, they don't know what they're getting into. They don't know how much their hearts are hurting and how much they need to be caught by God. But they say, oh, let's go help some poor folks. And they go, and they're blown away by how God brings to them that which they needed so desperately. And that is relationships. Amen? It's just so powerful to see that when we're involved in mission to those who are in need, if we follow Jesus, if we literally just follow Jesus, we're going to go to where people are hurting, where people are excluded and judged and hated on and hungry. When we go to Africa, everybody will go in Africa will say, we bring back more than we ever brought. We're going to bring 1,400 pounds of supplies. But one beautiful orphan girl who we know has no other clothes but what she's wearing gives us a hug. We're weeping with joy because we're part of something wonderful. You know, Jesus knows you get caught up in all the things. You know, the old saying is that fish never see the hook, right? They only see the bait. God knows you're already hooked on something. And literally, that's where that saying came from. Whether it's drugs or alcohol, think about what hooks you that's not good to be hooked by. You can be hooked on your faith in Jesus, and it's all good. It won't be easy, but you'll be caught by something wonderful, and you'll want others to get caught by this something wonderful. It goes hand in hand. Jonah was literally caught by God as he was being used by God to catch all those folks. It said 120,000 people. It's kind of funny at the end of Jonah, the book of Jonah, it says, because he's still angry. Even though they're saved, he sits down. He's in the burning hot sun. God puts this hot sun on Jonah. And then God has this little plant grow up and supply some shade for Jonah. And he's stewing in his anger and his stubbornness. And then God sends a little worm, chews the plant down, and then but Jonah just sits there, and I'm still angry. And he said, how come God says to Jonah, how come I can have compassion for all these people, but you can't? So I want you to know this morning that how important it is to love the fish and also to love being caught. And we try to do our best to give opportunities for people to get outside of themselves. And I hope you can seize the opportunities to be all about caring for the least of these. This past week we went to, I see Brenda Armstrong was here. I heard her laugh. She's in the corner over there. She has us connected to the Thursday Cafe at the All Saints Church in Worcester. And that's a motley crew there. And those are the ones that are serving. But it's a service to the homeless folks on Thursdays, and we're getting involved to helping. And when I came in this Thursday, this man came up to me, and he basically had like half his teeth. Pastor John! And he grabbed me before, I swear I had never met this person in my life. But he caught me in the arms of his embrace. And I know it was Jesus saying, I know you, even when you don't know me. But if you're all about my business, you're going to be caught by me. If you're going to be about caring for those who are hungry in the world, not just physically, but hungry in their hearts. So as we move now to our prayer time, I ask you to repent with me, because there are people that we know that we never really share our faith with. We never get around to saying our stories of faith to them. And it's time that we do so. Because there's somebody you know that all you have to do is invite them. All you have to do is just say, this is how God's worked in my life. And I invite you to have this year be different in our church. where there'll be people that are coming. We've never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but right here in this place, they feel at home. So let's bow our heads. We're going to take all of our prayers and just lift them up to God. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for continuing to reach out to us, to catch us with your grace. And thank you for forgiving us by being caught, you know, caught up with the world and being hooked by things that are not soul worthy. Lord, we know that sin catches people all the time. And we ask you to forgive us for being self-centered and self-absorbed. And your grace is what we really want to be hooked by. So just bring us your good news that you know our brokenness and our heartache. And we ask that you move in all churches to open the doors for everyone, that they could be caught by your love and welcomed home. Bless our Africa mission, the Appalachia Service Project. Bless the Quayles who, from one Sunday to the next, their house literally burns down and they lose most of all of their belongings. But we thank you that they were caught by your love right here in this place, and they're overwhelmed by how much you are showing your love for them, and they have a testimony to share. So, Lord, we lift up to you those whom we know that are hurting, that are going through grief and heartache, those who lost their jobs recently, those whose hearts break for family members that are lost in drugs or alcohol. I ask you just to bless families to come together and reach out in compassion, to have the heart of Christ, to forgive, even though every part of their being says not to. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless our country, that it could get back to functioning and people reaching across the aisle to really, truly love each other and listen to one another. How hard that is when the camps are so entrenched. But we thank you that you can move us to love even those whom we really don't. But with your love, we can. So all this, Lord, we ask you to bless the prayers spoken and unspoken as we lift up your prayers, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.